Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Numbers 260 to 346. M.R., Number 286, The Divine Human Nature of Christ. The world's Redeemer passed over the ground where Adam fell because of his disobeying the expressed law of Jehovah, and the only begotten Son of God came to our world as a man to reveal to the world that men could keep the law of God. Satan, the fallen angel, had declared that no man could keep the law of God after the disobedience of Adam. He claimed the whole race under his control. The Son of God placed himself in the sinner's stead and passed over the ground where Adam fell, and endured the temptation in the wilderness, which was 100-fold stronger than was, or ever will be, brought to bear upon the human race. Jesus resisted the temptations of Satan in the same manner that every tempted soul may resist, by referring him to the inspired record and saying, "It is written." Christ overcame the temptations as a man. Every man may overcome as Christ overcame. He humbled himself for us. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He redeemed Adam's disgraceful failure and fall and was conqueror, thus testifying to all the unfallen worlds and to fallen humanity that man could keep the commandments of God through the divine power granted to him of heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself for us, endured temptation for us, overcame in our behalf to show us how we may overcome. He has thus bound up his interest with humanity by the closest ties and has given the positive assurance that we shall not be tempted above that we are able. The Holy Spirit was promised to be with those who were wrestling for victory, in demonstration of all mightiness, endowing the human agent with supernatural powers, and instructing the ignorant in the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That the Holy Spirit is to be the grand helper is a wonderful promise. Of what avail would it have been to us that the only begotten Son of God had humbled himself, endured the temptations of the wily foe, and wrestled with him during his entire life on earth, and died the just for the unjust, that humanity might not perish, if the Spirit had not been given as a constant working, regenerating agent to make effectual in our cases what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. The world's Redeemer came not only to be a sacrifice for sin, but to be an example to man in a holy human character. We are ever to be thankful that Jesus has proved to us by actual facts that man can keep the commandments of God, giving contradiction to Satan's falsehood that man cannot keep them. The great teacher came to our world to stand at the head of humanity, to thus elevate and sanctify humanity by his holy obedience to all of God's requirements, showing it is possible to obey all the commandments of God. He had demonstrated that a lifelong obedience is possible. 1. 1892. 1, 2, 6, 7, 8. Obedience to God Required, November 15, 1892. As teachers, we need to understand that the object and teaching of our Lord was to simplify, in all his instructions, the nature and the necessity of the moral excellence of character, which God through his Son has made every provision that human agents should obtain, that they may be laborers together with Jesus Christ. Christ declared, "Where stands Satan's throne, there shall stand my cross, the instrument of humiliation and suffering. No single principle of human nature will I violate. Clothing my divinity with humility, I will endure every temptation wherewith man is beset. I will call to my aid the powers of heaven, that men and women, imbued with my spirit, may overcome as I overcame. The working out of my purposes in behalf of degraded humanity require that divine and human forces be combined. In the councils of heaven, the cross was ordained as the means of atonement. This was to be God's means of winning men to him. Christ came to this earth to show that in humanity he could keep the holy law of God. I have kept my Father's commandments, he declared. The Savior proposed to reestablish the principles of human dependence upon God and cooperation between God and man. He proposed to unite God and man by the golden chain of love. Christ's identity with man will ever be the power of his influence. He became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He clothed his divine nature with the garb of humanity and demonstrated before the heavenly universe, before the unfallen worlds, and before the fallen world how much God loves the human race. 165, 1899, 2-4. Words of Counsel to Ministers and Physicians, typed December 26, 1899. By his life in humanity, man may become a partaker of the divine nature. He was born without a taint of sin, but came into the world in like manner as the human family. He did not have a mere semblance of a body, but he took human nature, participating in the life of humanity. Christ helps humanity by taking human nature. Thus he lays hold upon man with his long human arm, and upon the throne of God with his divine arm. 97, 1898, pages 4, 5, 7. To Brethren in North Fitzroy, typed November 18, 1898. Released December 10, 1971.